All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. So in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And today is Friday, May 12th. And stocks had an interesting day yesterday. Disney was taking a major hit, down 9%. The Dow closing more than 200 points lower. PacWest bank shares tumbled 22%. And then we also need to take a look at commodities like lumber, copper, crude oil, because they're making new lows. Then also we heard that Elon Musk is stepping down as Twitter CEO, and also Google is continuing its rally. So what will the markets do today? And most importantly, how are we trading these markets? By the way, this is your first time here. I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Houghton. We are real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're here looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And it's good to be back. But I don't think that I missed much this week looking at the indices.
Yeah, you know, Marcus, it was interesting because we knew going into the week that the spotlight and focus was going to be on inflation. And so we had CPI data released, we had PPI data released, and the inflation picture is looking decent, right? I mean, it's still high, don't get me wrong, but we weren't seeing numbers that were just, you know, rocketing higher unexpectedly. And so it seemed like traders were okay with this information. And in some situations, that would be a positive. But it does seem like the regional bank worry is holding the markets back a little bit right now.
It definitely seems so because, I mean, we can zoom in, we can zoom out. It doesn't really matter. The S&P 500 does struggle with the 4,200 level. It can't break above 4,200. So we are back trapped in this range here right now between 4,050 and 4,150. And that's where we have been for the past couple of months already.
Sure, sure. So you have some, you know, decent news. It's out of the way. And we know that the market doesn't like uncertainty, right? So if there's less uncertainty, money's flowing into the market and you just see that drift higher. And instead of a drift higher after some positive news or just neutral news, you see that the market's stuck in this range.
Yeah, but then also we have the VIX trading at super low levels this morning, again, below 17. So the VIX, the fear gauge here, trading at levels that we haven't seen those since October 2021. I mean, just recently we dipped a little bit lower. And usually, I mean, when the VIX is that low, it means that there's no fear and money is flooding into the market. But right now, it is not.
Yeah, and it just shows that volatility, at least for now, is sucked out while traders wait for the next catalyst, the next reason for markets to move up or down.
Yeah. And I mean, you just mentioned it. I mean, the bank worries are still there. So PacWest yesterday tumbling 22%. This morning, at first, it looked like they were staging a little bit of a recovery, but right now trading just around the unchanged mark. And the reason why we bring up PacWest is because it seems that this could potentially be the next bank that is failing, because they reported earlier this week, and this is why they had this massive drop, that they saw, what was it, 9% outflow out of their deposits?
Yeah, 9.5% last week that, you know, it lost those deposits. And that's not what you want to hear if you want to try and avoid a bank run.
Right, exactly. So I was surprised that they reported it. Did they have to report it? I think it was a voluntary report.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. They did say that they're pledging more collateral to allow for additional borrowing under the Fed's discount window. So they're trying to remain stable. And that's the thing. It's a question of just, you know, are we done? even if we're not done, is it just a PacWest issue, or, you know, one or two banks and then we're done? Or will this spill over into the broad market and really become a bigger issue? And right now there is some uncertainty over that. You have the regional banking ETF, KRE, up right now, and we see that that's drifting lower. And just because there's some uncertainty there, I think it's holding back the market.
Yeah. Then also Disney had a really bad day yesterday. I mean, yesterday Disney dropped 9% after reporting earnings. This morning, a little bit down, 0.5 percentage point. So not really a massive follow through. But for Disney, a 9% drop is quite significant.
That is. And this is where Disney's trying to figure out just, you know, where things stand, because they're now a media company, right? But that's not the Disney of old. The Disney of old paid a dividend, and you know, traders and investors were familiar with that. They made a great effort to become a media company and offer Disney Plus and media like that. They actually reported revenue and profit that was basically in line with expectations. And they reported subscribers that were lower than expected.
Right. And that's not what you want to hear as you're turning into a media company. And I mean, they started to make this move a few years ago when they started going also in production, and they bought Pixar and more studios. And then they came out with the whole Marvel series. I mean, this is where you say the change has been over the past few years. And what we are seeing right now is definitely a new Disney here. And I mean, they did really well during the pandemic. This is when everybody subscribed to streaming services, but it seems that they are struggling to maintain that momentum. So right now they're trading way lower than they did before the pandemic. I mean, in fact, they're kind of scratching pandemic lows or getting there.
That is interesting. I mean, that catches me by surprise, because it's such a well-known name, and, you know, again, reporting numbers that were basically in line with expectations, but investors just wanting to see, I guess, subscribers growing and having some worries about that.
Yeah. All right. Got to bring up Tesla here. This morning, Tesla up was up actually 2% after yesterday. Elon Musk tweeted that he is planning to step down as the CEO of Twitter in the next, he said, probably 6 weeks. And right now there's speculation, who could it be? Who could be the new CEO of Twitter? And we know that for Elon Musk, it is difficult to step away. But right now, Tesla investors seem to like it, that maybe he is putting more focus on Tesla again. Although after the initial reaction here, it's right now kind of muted.
And, you know, it's just one of those things, because whether you love Elon or hate Elon, he's very passionate about what he puts his energy towards. And that's the thing. And Tesla investors, they did have some concerns over being, you know, him being spread too thin between his efforts to colonize Mars and, you know, continue with Tesla's products and development, and then playing around with Twitter kind of as a side project, it seemed, but taking up a ton of time. So
yeah,
it looks
well,
like...
I think the Twitter transaction, initially, it sounded like a good idea for him. And then he tried to bow out and was basically forced to go through with it. I think this was another aspect that he is trying to make it work and is realizing right now, well, it's not that easy. So we'll see what happens here with Twitter.
Yep.
All right. Before we look at our positions, I just want to take a look at some of the commodities, because that is very, very interesting. So we see that copper right now is making a 5-month low. And we know that copper, I mean, pretty much after the pandemic was soaring, going up to $5, right now trading at $3.72. And this is where I think we get some hints of what the housing market will do. Because, I mean, copper are building materials, lumber, LBS, also trading here at lows that we haven't seen since the pandemic, basically.
And some would argue that copper is a the canary in the coal mine when it comes to recessions, right? So there's the debate of, are we in a recession? Are we entering a recession? And on one hand, you have investors and economists saying, hey, with jobs being so strong, there's no recession, right? You have other people saying, hey, we've been in a recession for the last couple of quarters. We know that there's a definition and a group that actually says whether or not we're in a recession or not, but copper tends to be a good proxy for the overall economy, just because when things are positive, you have copper rising, right? When things get negative and there's a slowdown, you have copper falling. So it'll be interesting to see where this
settles. You know, I have heard about the copper being the canary in the coal mine. I'm not buying it, to be honest. I think maybe many years ago, this might have been right. I mean, if you think about it, during the pandemic, copper dropped to $2, then moved all the way up after the pandemic to $5. Before the pandemic, trading between $2.50 and $3, and right now at $3.73. So it's still at fairly high levels compared to where it was. And so even if it is a canary in the coal mine, I don't know. I just bring it up because that I saw that this morning, and copper is hitting a 5-month low, so we all should all be concerned. We are hitting into a recession. I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, hey, here's another canary in the coal mine, Marcus. Bitcoin on pace to have its worst loss since November 11th with a weekly drop. So does this mean that crypto traders, that risk on is gone, or is this purely because of the run-up because of banking and some profit-taking?
No, that is actually very interesting, because we talked about it, especially during the bank run. It seems that that Bitcoin had some momentum here. If you look at this here in March, when we had the bank run, Bitcoin rallied from 20,000 to 28,000 in a matter of a few days, in a matter of a couple of weeks. So I'm a little bit surprised by this, that cryptocurrencies are actually moving lower here, especially in a high interest environment. I thought that we had a little bit more fear about a banking crisis and that Bitcoin might be able to rally through 30,000. But right now, as you said, down back to 26,345.
Yeah, well, some interesting movement in the crypto markets for sure.
For sure. All right. So we'll jump over to Parex Optimizer, take a look at our positions. But one more thing that we have here. So today we had an economic report coming out, the preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment, coming out much worse than expected.
Yeah, forecast at 63, but people are worried about banking and what, the selling may go away, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not necessarily part of the consumer sentiment, but just in general, definitely coming in low.
Yeah, what I just found super interesting, that when we look at the FedWatch tool, a few days ago, pretty much all traders were factoring in that we don't have any more rate hikes. In fact, there are a few small group were factoring in that maybe we see lower rates. That narrative has changed right now. It seems that right now we have an 88% probability of the Fed keeping rates the same at the next meeting on June 15th, 14th, but 12% probability that they will raise interest rates.
That's very interesting, Marcus, because I could have sworn that yesterday when I pulled this up, that there was actually a percentage saying that rates would be cut.
I know.
Maybe I saw that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what I saw in the morning. So it just goes to show that right now, the probabilities and what's priced in the market, no cut at the next meeting. However, it shows that now investors are a little bit all over the place, or, you know, people trading Fed funds futures, which the probabilities are based on. There is a little uncertainty. Are we going to raise? Are we going to stay the same? Are we going to drop? That hasn't really been the discussion for a while now.
Yeah. So, I mean, this will remain interesting. And just a quick sneak peek of what's happening next week. So next week we have retail sales coming out, and we have a bunch of Fed members speaking, giving their commentary. If you see, if you look at this, I mean, on Monday we have Kashkari speaking, Cook speaking. Then on Tuesday we have Williams speaking, Goldsby speaking. Then on Wednesday we have Jefferson speaking, Barr speaking. Then we have Logan speaks also on Thursday. On Friday, Williams and Bowman. And then we also have Powell speaking next Friday. So next week will be super, super busy that we hear from various Fed members what their opinion is, what the Fed should do.
Yeah, busy, busy week for Fed speak.
All right, let's take a look at our position. So CTRA, Coterra Energy, still hanging out here in the middle of this range that has been established between 23 and 26. I've not been able to sell calls. My break even though is at 22.54. So I'm not too concerned about this, but it would be nice to see another push higher. So, but that's not happening yet. Google's. They just keep rallying. And I mean, I was talking about it that I said, okay, once we break above the 108, that we will probably go back into the range between 108 and 120. And go figure, yesterday, all the way up to 117.50, today trading at 116.50. So it does, Google does what I thought it would be. However, I sold calls earlier this week against my existing shares at 109. So right now it seems that I'm getting called away, so I will be out of the Google position that I've been in for quite a while right now. But it seems that today I will get called away. There's absolutely no way of rolling my 109s up unless I'm willing to pay for it, and I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, just quite a week for Google, up 10.5% for the week. They said that they're bringing AI to its poster search feature. So they're playing big with AI, saying it will eliminate the wait list for its chatbot Bard, and investors getting super excited about that. Where just a couple months ago, they were worried that Microsoft would be taking the lead with ChatGPT and that Google might be left in the dust. So another surge there. And interesting. I did see, I don't have the exact numbers, but there was some analyst that said if it weren't for the AI hype and enthusiasm in the market, the S&P would be down 2% for the year rather than up 7%.
I saw that. And I mean, this were also when we look at the heat map and we look at companies that are heavily benefiting from the AI hype here. It is Microsoft, it is NVIDIA, it is Google, and also Amazon in their cloud services. So this is where we see, in terms of market capitalization, we do have the big, at least four big ones that are nicely moving for the year.
So that is interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of which, AMD also making a move higher. So over the past few days, I think you were able to sell calls against your existing position.
Yes, I was able to sell the 102 call on Wednesday, and I was able to buy that back yesterday for 80% of its max profit. For me, that is part of my plan. So we have as a rule, if we sell calls, we like to buy back at 90%. But if it's a one-day move, why not take the 80% in hopes that there's some more follow through on the next day, which was not the case. But by freeing that up, if we made a move up towards 100, I would have been able to sell calls again and instead it's pulling back a little bit.
Yeah. Now talking about 80% close here after a day, this is what happened with Oxy. Oxy, we entered this position a couple of days ago, sold the 56 put. And actually, with yesterday's rally, Oxy was up yesterday 1.9%. That's where we were able to close it after less than 24 hours at an 80% of max profits. And we did to free up some of the buying power to see if there's anything interesting popping up today.
Yeah, a little bit of an earnings play, some downside there, and really liking the support. We know it's a Buffett company. So the Buffett effect, investors getting excited when he's investing in something, seems to be helping with support there.
All right. Finally, PNC right now getting dragged down by the worries about PacWest. And I do believe, so this is where the weekend will be super interesting, because whenever something major happens in the banking sector, it seems to happen over the weekend. This is what happened with Signature Bank. This is what happened with Credit Suisse. This is what happened with, what was the most recent one that got bailed out? First, FRC. I think it was FRC. First Republic Bank, yes.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting. PNC has been bidding on all of these banks. I mean, they bid on Silicon Valley Bank that collapsed. They bid on Signature Bank. They bid on FRC. So they want to buy another bank if they can. They haven't been able to get it. Others were quicker to take them over or had a higher bid. And I do believe that for PNC Financial, that could be the move if we do see another bank failing, because JP Morgan will not be able to do it again. I don't think that regulators will let them do that.
Yeah, that, and if they did, that'd be super unfortunate. But I agree. I think PNC's in the running if there is a concern with another bank, and we'll have to see how that shapes up.
So let's take a look at the markets right now. By the way, if you find this helpful as we are going through our positions, give us a like. I really appreciate all of your likes. If you're new to the channel, hit subscribe. And this is where we see right now that the S&P trading at session lows, same here for the Dow and also for the NASDAQ. So it seems that going into the weekend, traders don't necessarily want to be long, but we're not talking about a sell-off here. I mean, we're talking about a quarter of a percent that they are down right now.
Yeah, minor, all things considering. S&P and Dow looking to end the week negative, but the NASDAQ finishing positive.
Yeah, looks like it. All right, fantastic. Well, we have one more video for you. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to Damon John, and he shared some financial wisdom, and I'll link to the video right here. So check this out, and then have a great weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.
Happy trading, everybody.